thank you for downloading this podcast from Guymyr Baptist Church. You can find out more about our church at our website, guymyrbaptist.org.au. May God speak to you as you listen.
Our Bible reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 1 and beginning at verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
Thanks, George. Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. Okay, we're not as impressed as we were at the start of the day. Too many glasses are out there, aren't they? It has been a really good couple of weeks for us as a church. Trust that if you were at Carol's, you had a great time. If you were at one of our services last night, that you had an enjoyable time. And if you're here this morning visiting with us in particular, trust that you feel welcome here, but also that this is the start of a really wonderful day. Trust that you have a safe and blessed Christmas, not just today, but over the next few weeks, if you've got some leave and we'll be traveling and all of those sorts of things. It's great to have you with us this morning. Special thanks to those, Phoebe and our musos, who gave up an early Christmas day to be here and to serve us. So really appreciate your willingness to do that. And it's great to have you here this morning. Well, I have a few thoughts to share about joy and its transformation. By all accounts, apparently, joy this year is seeing the back of 2016. I don't know if you've followed the news much, and I don't know what kind of year you had, but apparently on the global scale, 2016 is not going to end up in the top 10. Most people believe that this is just one of those really lousy, rubbish years that we're just glad to see the back of. You think about it, and it kind of makes a little bit of sense. The ongoing crisis in Syria, with the unprecedented refugee crisis, the loss of life in the Battle of Mosul, the ongoing conflict in Iraq, the growing problems in Yemen. You had significant terrorist attacks in Belgium, in Turkey, in Pakistan, in Iraq. We had Brexit, Trump, the return of Hansen. Do I need to go on? The Zika virus kind of burst onto the scene. We've had extreme weather circumstances again just this morning. I read that there's a Category 4 super typhoon bearing down in Manila, set to hit tomorrow. It just kind of goes on and on. On top of which, there was the loss of several really well-loved celebrities and personalities: Muhammad Ali, David Bowie, Leonard Cohen, Alan Rickman, Gene Wilder. The list goes on and on. So by the end of the year, people are kind of going, can we just say goodbye to 2016? But interestingly, from a sporting perspective, 2016 completely bucked the trend. I don't know if you noticed, though, like even if you're not in a sport, you probably realize that they had the games, the Olympic Games in Rio. They went ahead despite political unrest and the Zika outbreak that took place. Michael Phelps continued to win every single race that he swam in. Usain Bolt won every race he ran in, both setting these enormous and tremendous records that will perhaps never be broken again. If you follow the English Premier League, and I don't, you probably heard about Leicester City, the Foxes, who were 5,000-1 odds to win the championship, and guess what? They won the championship. If you follow baseball in the United States, which not many of us do because it is boring as watching paint dry, but the Chicago Cubs won the World Series. You think, well, that's no big deal. Who cares? It's just their World Series, just to be people in America. But nonetheless, it's the World Series. It was the first time they'd won it in 108 years. That is a serious drought. They were talking about the curse being broken. Like, it was a pretty big deal. Closer to home, the Western Bulldogs entered a 62-year kind of drought of winning the AFL championship. And closest to home, of course, the Sharkies ended their 50-year drought and pulled home a premiership. And people are still cheering about it. It's just a little bit crazy. But for a year that was kind of so rubbish on lots of fronts, from a sporting perspective, it was quite different. And, you know, when I began to reflect a bit about what happened when the Sharks won the premiership, it wasn't just that people kind of finally kind of achieved a dream, but something really significant happened. Everything in a moment changed. You know, the two losses to Manly in 73, and did I get that right? I pitched that about right. The 73 and 78, the heartbreaking grand final qualifying losses to St. George and New Zealand in 99 and 2002. The two 10-game losing streaks in 06 and 09, the supplement scandal, and on and on and on it goes. The crushing defeat to North Queensland last year. In a moment, as that final whistle blew at the end of that frantic last few minutes of play, all of those things changed from being things that defined the club to just stages along their journey to victory. It's amazing. Now, nothing changed, really. The disappointments were still there. I don't think any Shark supporters still like Manly. I don't think that kind of dissipated. I don't think anyone embraced a Manly supporter on that night, even though they'd experienced all that joy. But all of a sudden, things had changed. Everything had changed in the past. Those disappointments were still there. The heartache was there. The hard times were no less difficult. But now they were just stages in the journey. And the future has changed. No matter what they face, no matter what hardships they face, no matter what failures or losses might be in their future, you can't take away the fact that they are the premiers. And I think that this is actually the true impact of joy. I don't know, you probably watched. I mean, my family watched. It was the first game I think my daughters had ever watched of rugby league. But we watched the grand final. And, you know, the scenes of joy kind of lasted a lot longer than just that night, didn't they? I don't know, people are still cheering about it today, for one thing, but it changed everything. And this is the impact that I think that joy has on our lives. A truly joyful experience transforms our lives. It ripples backwards and forwards and changes everything. It's the sort of thing that transcends emotion. You know, we can have a moment of joy. I hope that you might have one or two today. That moment of delight or happiness or pleasure in being with good friends or family members, enjoying a meal together, those sorts of nice moments. But truly joyful experiences transform things around them. They go beyond just some sort of experience. It's the joy of a childless couple who finally give birth to a little baby girl. It's the joy that transforms their life, doesn't it? The hard times of waiting and wanting and desiring children and all the troubles and trials that they went through to get to that point haven't changed, but they're transformed. And the future isn't any different, is it? I mean, you know, having children is, no matter how you come about them, is still difficult. There's all sorts of things in store for parents, but the joy of finally having children will hold them through that. I think it's the same kind of joy that must be experienced by refugees who are finally given asylum. All in a moment, when they finally receive their papers, when they finally land in the country where they are trying to live, all of their past has changed. Now again, they still grieve those they've lost. The hard times have not been made less difficult, but there's a joy that transcends the moment, that transforms those things in the past and gives them a future. And their future is also transformed, even though it's going to be difficult. There's still the language to be learned. There's still the jobs to be had. There's still the life to rebuild. But the joy of receiving that status changes everything. This is the impact and effect of joy. And the birth of Jesus is described as good news of great joy. And I think it's not the feelings of emotion. No, I think this is the experience of something that transforms us. The passage that George read for us comes from Luke's gospel, and as he said, it's Mary's song. And I've been reflecting a little bit this year on when Mary bursts into song. It's not immediately after the angel comes and tells her that she's going to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit and have a baby who will save the world. That sounds like a time to burst into song, but if you think about it, it's probably a time to kind of go, what did I eat? And what is that all about? And it's interesting to me that Luke doesn't tell us what she's thinking inside. He doesn't tell us the sorts of things that, the conversations that she had or how the town responded, any of those sorts of things. Instead, she gets up almost immediately and goes to see her relative Elizabeth. This is what sets up this song. She's just had this overwhelming experience. She's got so much to process. Can you imagine what's going through her head? She travels a couple days south to go to her relative Elizabeth's house. And can you just imagine? Now, she'd be thinking about, you know, was that real? Did that really happen? Did I say yes? Why did I do that? What's this going to mean? What am I going to tell my parents? What do I say to Joseph? What does this mean? And across all sorts of things. And as soon as she arrives in Elizabeth's house, and Elizabeth hears her voice, the baby that Elizabeth was going to be having leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Can you imagine how affirming that would have been for Mary? All of the questions, all of the concerns, all of the uncertainties and doubt. And in a moment, Elizabeth says, "It happened, and it's real, and it's true, and you're blessed." It's interesting that that's when Mary breaks into song, when she's had this affirmation. And the song that she ends up singing, or what she says, talks about this transformation of joy. And at the very beginning, she says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Her future has changed. Her future has changed. I mean, imagine what she was thinking the town would call her in the immediate future. The things that her family might say about her, the things that her fiancé might say about her, and all of a sudden it's changed. It's been transformed, and now she sees that her future will be blessed. But as she thinks about the activity of God, the things that God has done, she sees that it has impact in the past as well, that this is the sort of thing that God has always done. And so she talks a little bit later in the song about how God has scattered those who are proud. And in the Bible, the proud as a group of people are those who are opposed to God, who think that they know better, who think they can figure out life on their own, whatever it might be, and God has scattered them. Says that he's brought down the rulers, he's lifted up the humble, he's filled the hungry with good things, sent the rich away empty. This is the transformation of the act of God, and it changes everything. And this is the good news of Christmas. This is the good news of Christmas. That for you and for I, we can be transformed. And it's very easy for us, just like the sharks, isn't it, to allow our past failures, disappointments, heartaches, and hard times to define us. We end up defining ourselves by our past, by our regrets, by our guilt, by our missed opportunities, and we end up being defined by those things. And the good news of Christmas is that Jesus can transform that. He won't just transform your future, he'll transform your past, taking all of those things that we wish had never happened to us. And while he won't take those away, we don't get kind of spiritual amnesia when we begin to follow Jesus. There's no sense of kind of forgetting all of those things, but instead of defining us, they become stages upon our journey to becoming who we were always intended to be. This is the story that starts at Christmas. Well, it actually starts much earlier than that, but it starts in a special way at Christmas and finds its climax at Easter. And as you read through the pages of the gospel, what you learn is that following Jesus, placing our faith in him, believing what he says is true, believing what he has to say, and living our lives accordingly, that will bring true joy. That it will transform us and change us, both our past and our future. And this is good news. So let me ask you this morning, what is it that defines you? What is it that defines you? Is it past failures and disappointments and heartaches and hardships? Are you defined by regret and guilt and doubts? Well, Christmas offers you good news of great joy. that in Jesus' birth, both our future and our past have been transformed. It is the effect of joy in our lives. It's why the shepherds, while they sang and praised God and whatnot, were changed. It's why Mary was changed. It's why the disciples were changed. It wasn't just a fleeting moment of emotion. It was a transformation of their lives. So even if 2016 has been equally rubbish for you, let me say to you this morning, there is good news of great joy. That in Jesus' birth, in his death, his resurrection, there is joy for each of us. And if you're here this morning and you could really use some joy, not just a moment of delight, but this kind of transforming joy, can I suggest three first steps? Three simple things. Jodine's mentioned a couple of them already this morning. In January, we're starting a series reflecting kind of on how Jesus interacts with the stuff that's taking place in our world. Why don't you come along and join us? Why don't you take some of those initial first steps to finding out a little bit more about Jesus? Secondly, there's going to be a couple in the atrium, just near the coffee machine. Tony and Wendy Winton are their names. Lovely people. If you haven't met them before, you'll love them as soon as you meet them. But they're going to be standing there, and we've got Bibles there. And if you'd like to begin to read the story of Jesus, then why don't you allow us to give you a gift of a Bible? There's a little kind of brochure in that kind of tells you how you might want to begin starting that process. But why don't you take one of those? Our gift to you this morning on Christmas Day, an opportunity to begin to read and to learn a little bit more about the story of Jesus. And finally, in a moment I'm going to pray and the team's going to come up. We're going to close with a great carol, Joy to the World. And Jodine and I are just going to be down kind of near the front here. It's a pretty big number, so we'll be off to the sides a bit to avoid the spill. But we would love to pray with you. So if you'd like a Christmas blessing, if you'd like us to pray that God would fill you with joy, why don't you just come down and just really briefly, we'll only take 20 seconds, 30 seconds, pray for you just that God will bring you joy this Christmas. We'd love to do that, both during this song and then at the conclusion of our service. If you're visiting with us, we do this every Sunday. So for those of you who are here all the time, this is a little bit normal. For those of you who might be visiting, it might feel weird, but no one will think it's weird. It's just kind of what we do. So I'm going to take a moment to pray, but let me encourage you to take up one of those opportunities, to join us, to read the stories of Jesus, to have someone pray for you. And I trust that today and this week you will have a really blessed and joyful Christmas. So will you join me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news of great joy that has come in the birth of Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity we have this morning to celebrate the birth of Jesus and the opportunity to be reminded of the joy that he brings. I pray through your Holy Spirit that you would fill our hearts with joy, not just a momentary feeling of delight and pleasure and happiness, as much as we would like that too, but a joy that transforms our lives, that we might no longer be defined by our past, but that we might be defined by you. So we pray for your safety, your blessing this Christmas, and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.